Hallelujah. And please pray for me. Christos Anesti. Very pleased to be with you tonight, and especially during the first few meetings. And it's a great topic. It's the will of God to my life. Are we there? Yeah? Still waiting? Okay. One of the very common questions we always get asked about, what is the will of God to me? And I think it's very smart to start our meeting with the will of God. I believe you have already covered a couple of points about it, but tonight, with the grace of the Lord, we'll talk about the grace, the will of God. Still coming? Okay, you're right. The God's will to others. It's not a rocket chemistry to find out the will of God for others. It's not a very difficult subject, especially if we live in the grace and live in the will of God, and live in under God's wings and His grace. So tonight, with the grace of God, we'll talk about this subject. The point we have to make as a statement to begin with is living Christianity. Okay, living Christianity. Living Christianity has to be a simple thing. Don't complicate Christianity. Christianity has to be a simple life. Even though now theologians talk about a lot of differences and theology and comparative theology, but really, when you think about it, Christ was a simple figure, right? He came with a very simple message of salvation, and He attracted simple people all around Him. Not only that, but simple people always can relate to Christ, and you'll find a lot of simple people. The point I'm trying to make is, don't overcomplicate your life. The more we simplify our life, the more we can relate to Christ, and the more we can feel the love of Christ and the message of Christ to everyone around us. So the first point is, keep it simple. Keep it simple. I believe the will of God has to be classified into three main things. Yes. The next one. Yep. A general one, a specific one, and an individual one. So there are general will for everyone. We all share the same specific role and individual role. So for the first one, the general one, number one, kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. This is the will of God for us, that we get into the kingdom of God one day with His grace, through His blood, through His redemption. So this is, we share this with everyone. Secondly, that everyone has to come to the knowledge of God. Yeah, the second one. The salvation, that God seeks that all of us will be saved. All of us, this is His general will for everyone. People in India, people in Egypt, South Africa, North Pole, everyone is the same. Okay, third one, that we be sanctified. This is the will of God for you, sanctification. What it means, that we all live a sacred, pure, holy life in Christ. This is His will for everyone. We will not, no one will differ, whether you are skin of color, anything. This is His will. The last one is that we all become united in Christ. He said to the Father in John 17, I gave them glory, that as we are one, we all become one. God likes unity. God does not like divisions. So this is His will for all of us. What about the next one? The next one is freedom. That He said in John 8, if you know the truth, and today we talked about I'm the way, the truth, and life. If you know the truth shall make you what? Free. What it means free? Free from any bondage, slavery, sin, old captivity. This is His will for all of us. Okay? So we all have to agree on this. The next one is His specific or individual role. The first one is people have been. it hangs a little bit. Yeah, some people has been asked for specific roles. Not everyone has been asked to become Saint Paul. You can only have one Paul. He's been asked to come and preach for the Gentiles. You can't have million Saint Paul. It's just one Saint Paul. The next one is Caleb. You know Caleb in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers? He exactly. And in the Numbers and Joshua, he has been asked to a specific role, to encourage people, to go and suss the other promised land and come back and encourage everyone with a great inspiration of faith. He became a role model in faith. So you can only have one Caleb. The next one, St. Anthony, our great St. Anthony. He started monasticism. God has given him this role. Not everyone can be a St. Anthony. You can have 1,000 monks, but only one St. Anthony who can start. Those people, by the way, who start things around are great people. History, and they've got a special gift from God. You heard about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a great figure in the Old Testament. Who is Nehemiah? Someone has God sent to do what? To build the walls of Jerusalem. After the walls have been destroyed, so God have given him that mission. So this is like individual rule. What about the specific one for all of us? This is what I would like to talk to you tonight. The first one. Yeah, next one. Beautiful. The first one is, where is your brother? I want to talk to you about specifically about a few things. Where is your brother? Where is your sister? When God asked who? Cain about his brother. When is your brother? Remember, I'll get you a little bit backward. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you were in a Sunday school class, right? You had 20 or 15 people around you, right? Where are those people? Think about it. Think about that little chair you used to sit in that Sunday school class. Where is everyone around you? Do you still in touch with them? Are they all here? Are they all in God's grace, embraced by God? Or some of them have gone away? So tonight, the will of God for me is always, it's not only the role of Abuna or the servant to go and search for people. It's your role that you go and look for your brother or sister and make sure you bring them back. And if you can't bring them back, go and tell Abuna. And if you can't tell Abuna, go and tell your servant. And if you can't tell your servant, pray for them. I'll tell you a nice story. A couple of stories here. We're going to stop here for a while. A few months ago, I was in the church and I found a lady who came to see me. And she said, "Are you Abuna Krolos?" I thought I've done something. I said, "Yes, I am Abuna Krolos." She said, "Okay." She grabbed someone and she said, "Do you know this one?" I said, "Yes, he was in my Sunday school long years ago, back in the days." And she said, "I'm his cousin. I came from Egypt." And I asked him, "Are you going to church? Are you praying? Are you doing any of the above?" He said, "No." She said, "Who's your servant?" He said, "Uncle X," back in the old name. I said, "Let me go to Uncle X." He said, he's a priest now. She said, "I don't care. I'm taking you to your servant." And she dropped him in front of me and she said, "Now you're an Abuna, even more responsible for this man. Where is your brother? Where is your sister? Try to live life free of any guilt." I had a very guilt experience 2 years ago. That's why I said regret-free life. I used to, in my work, I used to have a delivery boy who used to go and distribute medicine to old people, like a delivery boy on a bike. He was 17. His name was Josh. Josh got a sarcoma in his feet, a very aggressive kind of cancer. And I started talking to him about God, but I didn't really have I didn't have a one-on-one session with him, talking to him, trying to persuade him to read the Bible. But he used to be a believer, but stopped. And then he went, once he's got that sickness, he started to drift. He's gone the wrong way. And he really done a few things nasty. And every month I said, "Next month I'm going to visit him at home and talk to him about God." I got busy. And the following months, until Josh was not there. And he's gone, passed away. And it took me a lot of regret, sadness. I was so sorry. I went to my confession father and I really cried. I said, "I feel very bad about it, that I could not talk to him about God. I could not give him the message of salvation. I missed an opportunity. Can I get it back? I can't." There are situations in your life that you can't replay. It's only once. It happens once. So don't miss. And don't have that regret in your heart. Okay? So the first one is, where is your brother or sister that you go and look for them? and make sure that the people you know back in the Sunday school are around you, and that we all one day holding hands into the kingdom of God. The next one. Give hope to everyone. Christianity is nothing but hope to everyone. Give hope to everyone. The Bible in our hands is called the good news of salvation, of eternity, that there is a second chance. That is, however you fall down, you can rise up again through His blood, through His grace. Give hope to everyone. You know that story of two patients in a room in a hospital? Two patients in a room in a hospital. One of them has been asked not to stand up, so he always have to lie down. And the other one could stand up. And one was sitting next to a window, the other one in a bed. It's a very famous story. And one of them was really, like, couldn't see anything. So that one who could have been raised up and lifted up to sit down every day at 1 o'clock, he said, "Oh, look at the window. There is beautiful scenes, the sky, the sun, the ducks in the lake, that woman pushing a child," telling her everything. And he kept giving him this hope. The other one can't see, has to lie down. Every day, same day, at same hour, he giving him this beautiful scene and really driving him to believe that he has to get better. He has to get better. Until one day, that person next to the window passed away. So the nurse came, and this man, he said, after some time, "Can I move to the next to the window?" After some time, she said, "Yeah, of course." She put him to the window, and the first opportunity about his rising up to look through the window, and he could what? He found a wall. There was no scene. There was nothing there. And the lady said to him, he asked the lady, she said, "By the way, he was blind. He couldn't see. But he was giving you hope all the time so that you can continue towards your cure." So our message to everyone, to give hope all the time. This is the will of God for us. Next one. To cover others' weaknesses. Cover people's weaknesses. Quite often we keep, spread the weaknesses or talk about it. Or gossip about it. But a beautiful story in the early Desert Father by St. Macarius the Great, that one of the monks, the brother, have been accused of bringing a woman into his cell. And taban, in monasticism, this is a big no-no. It was, everyone have seen it and dubbed him to St. Macarius, but St. Macarius said, no. So one time, they have seen him, this brother, taking that woman into his cell. They ran and called St. Macarius the Great. He came with a stick and said, "Here he is inside with the woman. Come and see yourself." So what did St. Macarius did? He said, no, leave. You stay outside. I'm going to go inside. And Agabi Abuna, he entered into the cell and sat, and he realized by the spirit where this woman is hid. The other one hid her. So he sat on that place and said, "Come, look, search. There's no one inside." And he covered that brother's big weakness. So everyone went out, disappointed and ashamed of themselves. And then he said to him, "May the Lord forgive you and forgive me." St. Macarius the Great. So the will of God for us is always to try to embrace people and cover for people weaknesses. Do we do the same? Try to choose one item of this and try to apply it in your life. Another one? Be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. Always. Always try to be a peacemaker in your community, around people around you, at home, everywhere. Whenever you see any two people having a problem, two families, try to be a peacemaker and reconcile people together. Another story. Trying to give you as many stories that you can remember in your head. Another story from the Desert Father. There was this beautiful monk who used to attract a lot of people into his area, giving them teaching, giving them advice. But then his disciple left him and went into another area. And this disciple became really, God gave him a lot of talents. So he started to attract a lot of people, and he became very famous. And just as a weakness, his father started to get jealous of him. started to get really jealous of him, sending him nasty messages that I'm going to come and kick you out of the desert. And he started sending him his disciple to tell him, go and tell Abuna X and so and so that he should leave here the desert and go somewhere else. But what his disciple would go to the other monk and say, my father kisses your hand and is telling you, he is blessing everything you do, may the Lord. And then he would come back and he said, did you tell him what I said? Yes, yes, Abuna, I've told him everything and everything is going to be fine and he's kissing your hand and seeking your prayer. And then another few weeks he didn't leave, and then he would say, tell him I'm going to come with my stick and smash him. And he would go and tell, oh, my father is telling you, he's seeking you. So he was like a peacemaker. And one day he said, no, this disciple is not going a good job. Let me go and go to him and really kick him out. So his disciple ran to the other place and said, Abuna, my father, my abuna is coming to seek your prayer. So the other disciple came, and on the way he had seen him, the other disciple kept doing matanias, my father, I'm not worthy, my father, I'm not. So the other man realized, and he called the other one, he said, what did you say to him? I said, oh, I'll always send him your regards and prayer. And his father took him in his arm and said, from now on, you're the abbot, I'm your disciple. Because you've done exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has asked us to be, a peacemaker. Always be a peacemaker around you. Blessed are the peacemaker because what? Sermon on the Mountain. Blessed are the peacemaker for? Yes. Okay, the next one. When you're bored, tell me, because I can stop at any time. Be reconciled to your brother. Get reconciled to your brother. Get reconciled. Don't ever let. How I put it, don't let your anger overcome you. Sometimes we get hurt from people. I know. It's very easy to hurt people around us. And sometimes we take it very personally and we cut connection. We don't talk. I delete you from my Facebook. I kick you from this. Sometimes we can do these things. But try to overcome that old person inside you. The new man, which is created on Christ's image, is much stronger. You know what you need to do? Just go to your room and lay down and put the cross in front of you, the crucifix, and look at the pains and the agonies of Christ for you. And you will realize how much He forgave you. And then you can only but stand up and reconcile. Ask God grace in this area. Okay, we'll move to the next one. Oh, okay. Okay, here we go. The next one, number 6. Go to the second mile. Always try to go to the second mile with people. This is a command by the Lord on the mountain, the sermon. By the way, all of this from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I always think Matthew 5, 6, and 7, John 13 to 17, you need to read this at least once every 4 weeks. I always say people, try to read those 7 chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, once a month. This like Matthew is the platform. John is the last word of Christ on the earth. So if you have the first and the beginning, always give you something special. Go to the second mile. I had in my previous life as a human before being a priest. I was in a pharmacy working as a pharmacist, and I had this wonderful man, Novak, and his wife was diagnosed with MS. When she was a school teacher, he was a school teacher, she was 26, diagnosed with MS, a very progressive disease. And she was, back in the days, there was not many medication to slow down the process as we have enjoyed the science of today. So she ended up on a wheelchair, she can't do much. All the muscles are weak, you know, he has to look after everything. So what this beautiful husband did, look at this, he was a school teacher, he resigned. They had 6 children. 4 girls and 2 boys. He used to do what? Everything from washing, bathing, cooking, everything at home. And every day, 5:30 in the afternoon, on a wheelchair, he was pushing his wife around for a nice walk around, stop and talk to everyone and giving her a beautiful life. How beautiful this man. He used to come to the pharmacy and everyone used to say, The girls in the family say, oh, when this man comes, something, we feel different from anyone in the world. We feel very, very warm. It's the grace of the Lord. But this is, you could stop here and say he was a wonderful man. But look what he's done. Look what, he went to the second mile. What is the second mile? He said to me one day, I want to serve the Lord. I said, you are serving the Lord the best way ever. I can be as good husband as you are. He said, no, I want to do something really good for the Lord. And he started going into the prisons and visiting the inmates in the prisons and established one of the best prison ministry in New South Wales. That they became a good model to replicate in other states. He would go and visit the inmates and their family, reading the Bible, looking after. Wonderful. And he had like 2,500 inmates serving under his organization. Not organization, like under his service. Beautiful. A second mile. I used to feel like a dwarf next to this man. Wonderful man. Very simple man. Loves the gospel. Loves the scripture. Talk to everyone about the love and the redemption and the salvation of Christ. Very simple man, but had great love in his heart to everyone. This is a second mile. Okay, another 10 minutes. We can skip that one, because of course the will of God for us is to love everyone. And not to judge anyone. Try not to judge anyone by the look. Try not to look to the book by the cover. Abuna, I had a friend of mine, his Abuna Moros, the one I put his name on the slide, and he used to serve in Kuwait. He passed away recently. He was younger than me. We were very good friends. But listen to this story. One time he finished the mass, he's still in the white tunic, talasan, everything, just closed the curtain, and a woman came to see him, and she found him eating a big sandwich. Ah, she said, what is this? It is, he can't wait. Abuna, يعني خلاص. بطنه خلاص على آخر يعني. استنى شوية. And she's left and she's very sad. Don't judge anyone. And then Abuna sat down. She went out and she came. And Abuna asked her, come. Whatever her name, come on. Sorry, you came and I was, because he was diabetic and he had a hypoglycemic attack. He said, forgive me, you came to confess or something. All the mass, I was dizzy, and thank God I could finish the last Holy Communion. And he had to eat something. But inside her heart, she judged him. But the story is, never judge anyone, because you don't know where they are coming from. If yourself be in that position one day, I wonder how me or you would behave, all right? So please don't judge. God hates judging. God doesn't hate. God loves everyone. God doesn't like judging. Okay? God does not like judging at all. At all. Please, don't judge anyone. We don't know. I always say, we all grew from a different background, different homes, different school, different teachers, different parents, different auntie, different ghetto, different tata. Everything is different. So you come in this way, I come in that way. But the grace of God and the work of God in your life as much as I in my life. Next one. Yeah? And be merciful. And be merciful to everyone. We skip that one, the next one. Yeah? Yeah, here is Mother Teresa, some quotes about, and encourage. And the last one, I think I'll skip to the last one so that we can perhaps take some questions. Yeah. Be compassionate. This is the big one to the final one. The last one. I love this. If you look to the word compassionate, you will find the word compassionate is very characteristic for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was compassionate. Always look for the word compassionate in the Bible. You'll find that always the Lord Jesus Christ was compassionate. What is compassionate means? That your heart and emotion will move towards people, other people, weaknesses. If you would like to know that you become really image of Christ, you'll find when you become compassionate on everyone around you. A beautiful story. The next slide, a beautiful story. There is two, yeah, the next slide. Yeah. Yes, here it is. I want to end up with this beautiful story. I love this story. There was two pilots. in the Second World War. One is German and one is American. The German one was flying one of those little aircrafts. The American was his second time to fly a big bomber. The big bomber is like a big duck flying, easily to shoot that one. You can easily shoot it with anything. So, after completing his mission, the American Brown flight was shot and completely damaged his nose of the aircraft and his tail and the side. So he's crippled, an aircraft going back home, crippled, very easy to shoot it with a stone, to drop it. So that German aircraft, Francis, came and he looked around and something, he looked around the gun and he found that the gun is dead and there is a lot of blood inside the aircraft. He had dropped 26 aircraft before. He only need one to get Germany's best medal of award of being brave pilot. So all what he is to do is what? Hit the gun, bang, drop the big bomber. So he flew around it and he looked, both of them looked into the eyes and he had compassion on the other one, the crippled one. Don't ask me what, don't ask me how, don't ask me how this happened. But he looked at him and he described, I have seen him scared as nothing. So what did he do? He went to the other side and he gave him a message of assurance and he said, I'm not going to shoot you. I'm going to escort you towards the borders of England where you can land your aircraft. He could not believe it in the other aircraft. They lived, but always Charlie Brown, the American one, lived. Why did he do it? Days has gone. He started to looking for that German one, looking for him, until they met in 1993 in Canada. Both of them met together, and they found each one alive. And you can look at the interview on YouTube. It's a wonderful one, a wonderful one. How he had compassion on the other one and he saved his life. And they hugged each other and cried together. And he said, why did you do it? Why did you let me go? Why didn't you shoot me back then? Mind you, if he was caught, the German one, at the Nazis and Hitler, he would have finished, executed straight away. But then he said, I couldn't shoot you that day. I had compassion upon you. Beautiful story. Beautiful. Look at that one in the YouTube. You'll find and start crying. Even when he was telling the story, he kept crying, the German pilot. So the will of God for us is to do what? To go and distribute love and forgiveness and compassion for everyone. You would be surprised how many people in this world needs that touch. Need that, I call it the Jesus touch. That you compassion on them, love them, support them, give them hope. All of us, Yawlad, we need that pat on the shoulder. Even the highest person in the church, even the Pope himself, need that pat on the shoulder. We need that one. We all need that one. We can't function without it. We can't function without love. Love around us, love embracing us. The last one, the very last slide, the next one. Yes, the next one. Yeah, here it is, the last one. Watch this back. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because of their deeds were evil. Sometimes it knocks on your door, sometimes it comes to you and you either grab it or waste that opportunity. All right? فهمتوا حاجة؟ فهمتوش أي حاجة النهاردة أنا عارف. Glory be to God forever. Any questions you will have? All is easy, straightforward, no questions. Yeah, no questions. Thank you, Muna.